So some of these are a little bit cut off still, but we're just going to roll with it. So I'm going to talk about stress and sexual risk behaviors in homeless youth based on a study that we recently did. And I have my co-author here, Sarah Narendorf. We have no disclosures to report. And really the background, homeless youth, as we know, are at significant risk for HIV/AIDS. And some of the research shows prevalence rates as high as 11% and 6 to 12% higher rates of infection, HIV risk. But prevention efforts to date really have had modest effects at best. So we're trying to figure out, really, are there other mechanisms that we need to consider when we're looking at HIV prevention and sex behaviors in particular that we could possibly find other ways to be more effective?
Pull the mic
closer to
your mouth.
Sure. Is that better?
Yes.
We also know that homeless youth experience significant stress related to not only their adverse childhood events and histories of trauma, but then also victimization and sort of the street life stress that they experience while they're homeless. And even though we know sort of those things, little is really known about stress in general in homeless youth, and very little is known about stress and sexual risk behaviors, particularly in homeless youth. There is some emerging data that we'll discuss related to stress and sex behaviors, but not in the homeless youth population. And so we wanted to look at that relation, hypothesizing that youth who have higher levels of stress will also report higher levels of sexual risk behaviors. So when we look at sexual risk behaviors in homeless youth, they have higher rates of victimization, rape, also engaging in trade sex. Some of the prevalence is about 20%, and so we'll compare our rates to what's been found previously. Lower rates of condom use during sex than housed youth. Higher rates of victimization are oftentimes seen more in females, so there is a gender difference between males and females. And females also report higher diagnoses of STIs in the past 3 months, as well as sex without a condom. When it comes to stress and sex behaviors, like I said, there's really no data that looks at homeless that we're aware of, although if anybody knows of any, I'd greatly appreciate finding out who's looking at that. But there is data looking at females, so in finding that stress is predictive of condom and contraceptive use in females between the ages of 18 and 20, which mimics our population age. And that women with moderate to severe levels of stress are at higher odds, 2 times the odds of non-use of contraceptives. As well, it's related to increased number of sexual partners. In an African-American adolescent population, those who had interpersonal stress, reported interpersonal stress, also demonstrated less condom use at last sex. And we know from being homeless that chronic stress of being homeless can affect our health behaviors when they're reacting to their environment in ways such as reducing their executive function, which plays into risk behaviors, and then also decreasing impulse control. And so we wanted to see what it was, if there was any relation there. So we had done a study last year. It says October to December, but actually the majority of the sample was recruited in a 4-week period. We recruited 434 homeless youth in a huge effort in Houston to be able to gather Houston-level data. And we recruited from shelters, drop-in centers, magnet events, which are like dinners that would be specifically for homeless youth or youth in general or homeless in general, and then also street canvassing. And youth took either a paper-pencil survey or a computer survey where they could either click on the questions and answers or also listen to the questions and answers to sort of help those who had low literacy issues. When we measured stress, we looked at the perceived stress scale, which is a 4-item scale that looks at ability to feel like you have control over your life and that things are not overwhelming. And our sexual risk behavior measures were taken from YRBS. And then we added in questions about trade sex. You may have heard people call it exchange sex, prostitution, survival sex. It's all sorts of names for this. We did a lot of preliminary work with focus groups in the Houston area, and the youth there really identified with the word trade sex. It's not as stigmatized as some of these other words, and so we went with that terminology to get a better indication of whether or not they were engaging in that behavior. So the study was called Youth Count 2.0. It was done in collaboration with social work, the University of Houston School of Social Work, as well as the University of Texas School of Nursing, and we all had students out, which made this possible in a four-week period. We had over 70 volunteers that went out and captured data. We went to 97 different events at 47 different locations, so we were all over the place trying to make sure that we were capturing youth who were literally homeless, meaning that they're staying on the streets or in a place that is not meant for human habitation, or also those who are couch surfing. So they're sort of in an unstable housing situation. We did that specifically to be able to look down the line, which I'm not going to present here, at whether or not there's differences in that housing status piece. We also tried respondent-driven sampling to see if we could possibly use that methodology to gather this more youth coming in, and that's why we extended it to December. We still only got about 9 people who referred others to the study. Oh, so these are a little bit messed up still. Okay. Our sample was majority was 18 to 24, although we captured down to 13-year-olds, and so those are captured in the minor. The majority of the minors were sheltered at the time of recruitment. 54% of the sample was male. We had about 24% who identified as LGBT, and the majority of the sample was sheltered, but we also had about 33% who were recruited from the street and about 18 who were couch surfing or otherwise unstably housed and doubling up. About 41% of the sample had a history of foster care, which is higher than what you would see in other studies. About 22% of those had aged out of foster care. 33% had a history of juvenile justice, and about 26% of the sample was pregnant or parenting. So either they had their children or didn't, but they were either pregnant or parenting, and that includes both males and females. Additionally, the sample was predominantly African American, which does not mirror the demographics of Houston, but does mirror the demographics of homeless adult population in Houston. So we looked first at sex behaviors among sexually active homeless youth that were in the study, and you can see up here, I tried to highlight some of the ones that really had some differences when it comes to these different behaviors. You can see minors versus young adults were much more likely to use substances at last sex, as well males were over females. Being female, transgender, LGBT had higher prevalences of having sex against their will. Those who were couch surfing had the lowest rates of being tested for HIV, which may indicate that they're less connected to social services because their housing situation's not requiring them to interact with folks. Trade sex was higher among the adult population, so those that were 18 to 24, as well as the trans youth and LGBT youth. Condom use was lowest in the trans youth, as well as birth control, and trans youth also had the higher rates of ever having an STI. So we also wanted to see group differences in stress, just descriptively, because there's really not much out there when it comes to the homeless population. And you can see that here we have the mean perceived stress score as well as a dichotomous measure, those who scored 9 and above being moderate or severely stressed. And you can see a difference here between male and female. So there was definitely a gender difference when it came to stress. And you can see that trans youth had higher rates of means as well as males had the lowest rate. So when we looked at stress by race, ethnicity, you can also see that there's quite a bit of a difference. The samples get pretty small, but white individuals had higher rates of had higher rates of moderately to severe stress versus some of the other folks, and you can also see that difference there by gender. So then we wanted to see whether or not sex behaviors differ by stress levels. And you can see high, sort of bolded off there are the ones that were had a significant increase. So stress against your will was significant. There was a significant increase between those who had high stress and low stress, with those being higher stressed having reporting more sex against your will. Those who had higher stress also reported more HIV testing in the last year. So again, we're not sure with a cross-sectional study which comes first, but they are having higher rates of, or those who have higher stress are getting tested more. Trade sex was significant, so those who had higher rates of stress also reported more trade sex, as well as oral and anal sex. So when we looked at the gender, we wanted to see whether or not gender moderated the relationship between stress and sex behaviors, and you can see that trade sex was different by gender. So there was a bigger difference between males who had high stress versus low stress than there was between females who had high stress versus low stress, meaning that males who had the highest levels of stress were at the highest risk for trade sex. And you can see that anal sex is starting to trend that way, although it wasn't significant in these findings. So in summary, we wanted to just show how different sex behaviors are related to other populations. So you'll see in the first columns off to the left that that's your YRBS data and really what's going on in the U.S. versus Texas versus Houston. So we can sort of see really what the magnitude of difference was. And you can tell off the bat that homeless youth are much more likely to start having sex before the age of 13 than those in Houston or Texas or the U.S. across sort of across the board, as well as have more than four sexual partners. Although when you look at condom use, it's not that far off from what we see already in Houston or Texas. And contraceptive use, while much lower than the U.S. population and Texas, it still pretty much mirrors what we see in Houston youth in general. So there's not a big difference there, although homeless youth are using substances at higher rates. So substance use at last sex is higher among our Houston homeless youth. So in conclusion, stress was associated with having sex against one's will. Trade sex, as well as being tested in the past year, oral and anal sex, but was not associated with condom use and birth control use with or number of sexual partners, which has been seen in other populations. So it seems like they're related to some of these risk behaviors, but not all of them. There is a difference between stress and trade sex. It's moderated by gender, with males having a larger difference between them than females. And it's also did not differ. The others did not differ by gender, so there was really no gender interaction between stress, oral, anal, and HIV testing in the past year. So we believe that perhaps stress is a significant contributing factor to sexual risk behaviors in this population, and it may be a promising avenue for some interventions. Although with being cross-sectional, we really don't have any way of looking at temporality and which comes first. Are they stressed, and so therefore they're trading sex? Are they trading sex, therefore they're stressed? So we can't really make those conclusions. We want to, in the future, look at the relation between trauma, mental illness, and current levels of stress. We're currently enrolling in a ecological momentary assessment study to look at daily stress and whether or not it predicts near real-time sex behaviors. So looking at those daily fluctuations in stress, which is particularly important for homeless youth who can have these fluctuations. And then, of course, looking at a longitudinal study where we could look more at the temporality in these relations. That's it.
Yeah, could you employ any kind of correction for the next?
So we only really looked at those four, the ones that were significant.
We've got a whole lot of tests this way,
So we do need to go back and do some adjusting for the statistics and look at the significance level, maybe even lower them. Yeah.
Other questions?
I have one. So what are the next steps?
So we're gonna do an EMA study that'll look at stress on a more granular level and whether or not that predicts the next day or that evening sex behavior. So we do want to see whether or not that'll help us to determine whether or not these fluctuations in stress really are driving some of that.
Okay, great. Thank you.